We continue Bezat Hashem in our Limud of Mishnayot. We are in Masechet Chala. We began a new Masechet yesterday. We are in Perik Aleph, Mishnah Bet of Masechet Chala. In our Mishnah here, the Mishnah continues to give us a list of halachot that apply only to the Chameshet Mine Dagan, the five species of grain that we mentioned in the previous Mishnah, chitim, seorim, kusmim, shibolet, shual, veshifon, wheat, barley, spelt, oats, and rye. And it's going to begin with some halachot relating to Pesach. Now we know the Torah obligates each person to eat matzah on the first night of Pesach, and we're not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach. So let's see what the Mishnah has for us here. Ha'ochel mehem kazayit matzah bePesach yatzah yedei chovato. Someone who eats a kazayit of matzah made from any one of these five species on the first night of Pesach, he fulfills his obligation to eat matzah. But if he eats from other matzah made of other species of grain, then he's not yotzeh, he doesn't fulfill his obligation. Only these five. Similarly, kazayit chametz chayav behikaret. If one eats a kazayit chas v'shalom of chametz from these grains, is punishable by karet. However, chametz, meaning leavened grains of the other types of grains, not from the five, then one is not chayav karet. It's not considered chametz. Such as, for example, rice. Even if rice gets as puffed up as can be, it's not chametz. Nit'arev echad mehem b'chol aminim, hareze over b'pesach. If let's say one of the five species of grain became chametz and it got mixed with another type of food on Pesach, for example, if let's say one of the five grains was used to make what's called kutach habavli, Babylonian kutach, which is a dip that's made from sour milk and moldy breadcrumbs. So if let's say chametz from one of these five species got mixed up with that, hare ze over bePesach, then one who owns that mixture on Pesach, he's transgressing the prohibition of lo yira'e ve lo yimatzeh, of owning chametz on Pesach. Now the Mishnah is going to talk about which types of grain are included when one makes a neder prohibiting bread or grain. Hanoder min hapat umin hatevua. One who makes a neder prohibiting himself from eating pat, from eating bread or tevua or grain, asur bahem, he's forbidden to eat bread or grain of these five species. That means if he made a neder prohibiting bread, he cannot eat bread of these five kinds. If he made a neder that prohibits himself from grain, he cannot eat from these five grains. However, he is permitted to eat bread or grain of other species, because when people say pat, when they say bread, or they say tvua, grain, they refer to these five specifically. Who holds like this? Divrei Rabbi Meir. That is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. V'chachamim omrim, hanoder min hadagan eno asur ela mehem. There's another term that is used to describe grain, and that is dagan. So now Rabbi Meir did not mention that. He said, min hapat umin hatevua. So it sounds like Rabbi Meir says, if the person who made the neder said, I am forbidden to have any dagan, then that would include all types of grain, not only the five. With that, Chachamim disagree. They say, hanoder min hadagan. Someone who makes a neder prohibiting himself from eating dagan, then eno asur ela mehem. He's forbidden only from these five species, because when people say dagan, chachamim hold, they also only refer to these five. V'chayavim b'chala u'b'masot, and these five species are subject to the obligation of hafrashat chala and of removing masot. Mishnah Gimel. This Mishnah is going to give us cases where produce of these five species have an obligation of afrashat chala, but not ma'aser obligation. Let's see. Elu chayavim bechala upturim min ha-ma'asot. The following are obligated in afrashat chala, but they're exempt from removing ma'asot. Masrot includes Trumot, Maser Rishon, Trumat Maser, Maser Sheni, and Maser Ani. So the following are cases that are exempt from Masrot, but they are obligated by Chala, Hafashat Chala. And they are Haleket, VeHashicha, VeHapea. These are the Matnot Aniim, the gifts to the poor, Leket, anything that falls at the time of harvest, Shicha, bundles that were forgotten in the field, Pea, the corners of the field, VeHahefker, and ownerless grain. These are all exempt from Maaser, because Maaser obligation applies only to produce that has an owner. But these gifts do not have an owner. They are hefkel. They can even be taken by any Levi who finds them. So they're not subject to the obligation of Maaser. But nevertheless, they are subject to the obligation of Chala. Next case, Umaaser Rishon Shenitla Trumato. Another case where something is Chayav in Chala, but not in Maaser. Maaser Rishon Shenitla Trumato. That means Maaser Rishon, whose Trumat Maaser was taken, but the Truma Gdola was still not separated by the owner, which means the Levi already separated Trumat Maaser from the Maaser Rishon that he received, right? Meaning he was given the Maaser Rishon before the grain became obligated in Truma Gdola even. Or another case, Maaser Sheni veHegdesh Shenivdu. Let's say a case of Maaser Sheni or Hegdesh that was redeemed, as we just learned in the previous Masechet. So Maaser Sheni and Hegdesh that were redeemed are subject to the obligation of Chala, but they're exempt from Maaser. Maaser Sheni that was redeemed, mentioned here, is speaking of a case where it was separated before the grain was obligated in Maasot. And Hegdesh that was redeemed is exempt because it didn't belong to the owner when the Maaser obligation took effect. But in Chala, it is obligated. Umotar ha'omer. Another case that is subject to Chala, but not to Maaser, is motar, the leftovers of the korban ha'omer. This is referring to the extra flour that remained after the korban ha'omer was prepared. The korban ha'omer was made from very fine barley flour. So a large amount of barley would be bought with money of Hekdesh. The barley would be ground and then sifted many times until a very small amount of fine flour was produced. So the leftover flour was redeemed, and now it's permitted for other uses. So now the barley for the Omer was bought while it was still unprocessed, and it was still owned by Hekdesh. Right? So essentially it comes out that the leftovers of the Omer are Hekdesh that was redeemed. Hekdesh that was redeemed, we just said, is exempt from Maasot and subject to Chala. And another case, Utvu'a shelo evi ashlish. Grain that did not grow a third of its full growth. Because only grain that has grown enough that it will grow to the point where it will grow if replanted is obligated in Maasot. But grain that has grown less than a third is not going to grow if replanted. So such grain is exempt from Maasot. But with regards to Chala, this exemption doesn't apply. It's obligated in Chala. However, that's only according to Tanakama. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. Rabbi Eliezer omer, Tevu'a shelo hevi ashlish p'tura min ha'chala. That grain that didn't grow a third is exempt also from Chala. He compares the halachot of Chala to the halachot of Truma. And just as grain that didn't grow a third is exempt from Truma, it's also exempt from Chala. However, the Baal Tanura says, in halacha, k'Rav Eliezer, the halacha is not like Rav Eliezer, rather like Tanakama, that this is also included in the cases where in Maaser it's patur, but in Chala it's chayav. Baruch Adonai le'olam, amen ve'amen.